Welcome to the podcast of Pastor Daniel Braddock. He is the pastor of First Assembly of God in Plant City, Florida. We are so excited that you have joined us to listen to Pastor Braddock's powerful preaching from each Sunday morning church service. Listen closely to these messages, and your journey with Jesus will be wonderfully impacted.
The Lord is in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think I'm fixing to start something. I don't know how it's going to go, but we're going to try it. Amen. Matthew, put the title up there for me, if you would, please. My message today is prayer, repent, and revival. In that order. In that order. How many of you believe that? Got a few hands being raised. But let me share with you what brought this on, what spurred it. Last Sunday night, an individual came up to me as we were visiting and waiting for the people to break down the equipment. And they said, Pastor, could we have a revival? I think we need a revival. And I said, okay, we'll pray about it. So the next day, John and I were going to get a sandwich, which we always work around food.
Amen.
Y'all get that in a minute. And I made the statement to him, and he hesitated for just a few seconds, and then he said, do you want a revival or do you want a series of meetings? There's a big difference. Let me use an example. Dr. Brown, Mike Brown, when he comes, he preaches wisdom and strength. Amen. But what I'm looking at, what I see in my spirit, is where the church comes alive. Hallelujah. That's what we need today. Well, I know several preachers that would just jump at the chance if we'd call them and say, you can come. They would be excited. But would they bring revival? I was trying to find the revivals. The one that would come to my mind in the 1700s was the Great Welch Revival. Over 100,000 people came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then, let's just break it down, and I'll be honest with you today. How many of you remember the Pensacola Revival?
Yes, sir.
Now, that revival didn't break out just because the pastor said, let's have a revival. What a lot of people don't know, and they prayed for 3.5 years. They prayed for revival. And when it broke, there was miraculous things went on.
Yes, sir.
The sad thing is, man took over. And it faded. And I'm not belittling, I'm just telling you, that's the latest. That tells me that we can have revival today, that will shake a community. But there's some things that go along with that. Praying is the essence of what we need. So if you have your Bible, Psalm 85 and 6 says, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" I don't know about y'all, but I'm just glad I'm a Christian. I'm happy. I got up with Arthur this morning. He doesn't like me. I got up with other ailments, but I'm happy. Why? Because I'm a child of the King. Then let's go to the next one. Matthew, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Well, 13, we'll start there because it all ties together. Now, this is one of those other scriptures that I struggled with for many, many years trying to figure it out. But the Lord began to open my heart to these verses of scripture. This is where Solomon has built the temple. A magnificent building. Gold everywhere. Wouldn't you love to see that? When I shut up the heaven and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves and no, wait, back up, and pray. Well, let's do it again. By my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, this is what God will do. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. All right. Father, I pray that you'd help us for a few moments. You laid this in my heart. Without you, I can't do it. And I'm totally dependent upon you at this moment in my life as I stand before this people, asking for your wisdom, your understanding, and your anointing to rest upon my life, my heart, my body, that I may speak what you have laid in my heart, and I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, shake your neighbor's hand if you're close enough, tell him you still love him. Hallelujah. Prayer, repent, and revival. Psalms 85, 6 says, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" The saddest thing I think is in the Christian realm is sad Christians. Amen. Now, I'm trying to get my bearing in the right direction I'm supposed to go. But my Bible tells me that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Listen. Not the joy of the world, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I've been told I laugh too much. But that's all right. I'll never have liver problems, according to my mother-in-law. But I'm happy. Now, there's things I don't like that's going on, but that doesn't alter what's in my heart. It's the presence of God that makes me what I am. That that the people may rejoice in thee. That's powerful. Can you remember the night, the day, the hour you got saved? Were you happy? Were you excited? You're bubbling over with the realization that Christ had come into your heart and changed your life and made you a new creature. And in that came life. If I wasn't so dignified, I'd shout a little bit. My body won't let me. Life. Life. Buddy, you're alive. Judy, you're alive. Not only physically, but spiritually. You may hear groans coming from my heart. We used to call that groaning in the spirit. We get to the point in praying that we forget where we're praying and we get lost in the Holy Spirit and begin to just weep and groan in the power and the presence of God. And I believe it touches the throne room of heaven when we get in that position. Happy. The word revive, you know it. It says bring back to life or consciousness or resuscitate. Bring back to life. You know, I'm in the same boat with most of y'all. Age-wise. And I can't do what I used to do. And I'm fighting that with my very being. My mind says I'm 50. My heart, my body says you're lying. But in my heart, there's a screaming, there's a crying to reach out and take a hold of God. To draw closer to Him, to bring back life. Sister Donna, whoa, that was powerful. Yes. For 11 days, she was laying there almost like a dead person. But life. Oh, y'all didn't get it. I said life. When everybody else wrote you off, the Lord says, no, I've got life. Woo! I won't get in trouble, John. It says, bring back to life. Some of y'all used to have a life, but you let it die.
Come on.
Well, I just don't feel good. I don't either. But I'm not dead.
Come on.
I have to go home this evening and rest for the whole evening to come back tonight. But I'm still alive.
Lord, amen.
I'm full of the presence of God.
Come on.
I want revival. Bring back to life. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, after He made the heavens and the earth and all those things that He made, and He said it was good. The Bible says, I believe it's chapter 2, what is it, Matthew, verse number 6 or 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground.
Listen now.
And He what? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being or a living soul. I've never had to do it, but I've been around people when something would happen and they would have to resuscitate them. Man, they pump their chest and they bow down and, you know, I got to be careful. They put their mouth on their mouth. They breathe into them. Then they pump their chest again. What are they doing? They're trying to get that person back to life. This is the picture I got. God had a form. He was in the image of God. He was laying there on the ground. Because I don't think the Lord had an operating table at that time. I'll get that one in a minute. But he looks down. As he's already said, everything that he had done was good. He looks down at what he had made. And he said, but he's lacking something. Something's not complete. Something is missing. And the Bible says he reached down. That's the way I picture him. If I'm wrong, Brother Joe, Brother Douglas, you help me out. But I believe he leaned down. He probably didn't have to press his chest, but he breathed down. And when he did, he breathed life into him. And a dead person got up from that place, and he became the first man that walked on the face of the earth. But it took life to get him there. And he became a living being. I have a niece that lives over in Laughlin, over by Davenport. I may have told this, but some of our kin folks died years ago, and we was all at this viewing, and she had to go to the bathroom. She had to go down this long hall and make a turn, and she said, I just have to walk by. And I heard her talking about, I got to go to the bathroom. I said, well, it's right down the hall. Go down. She said, I ain't walking down there. There's dead people. I said, what? They're dead people. I said, honey, dead people can't hurt you. It's the live ones that you got to worry about. But she had it in her mind that that dead person's going to rise up and then, you know, grab her. No. She had the wrong idea. But God takes us who's dead in the spirit. God takes us who is dead in our spiritual walk. And he's beginning to breathe life into people's heart and say, it's time that you rise from your deadness. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. He said, wilt thou not turn? In the text of Psalm 85, verse 6, wilt thou not turn or return a cause to live? That is, the cause us to live. The expression is equivalent to again, as in our translation. Returning, wilt thou not give us life? The word rendered revive means to live, to cause to live. The idea is that recovering them from their condition as a state of death. That is restoring them as if they were dead. The image of that is returning spring after the death of winter, or the young grass where the rain has been left to stop for a long time through a drought. And when everything seemed to be dead, So the people referred to in this psalm as everything among them was like such a winter when there is neither leaf nor flower nor grass nor fruit, like such as a drought when desolation is seen everywhere, or like the grave where the dead repose. The image of spring after a long dreary winter is one also will properly describe the condition of the church when the influences of the Spirit have been long withheld, and when under the visitation of the grace, religion seem to live again among the people of God. The church needs to be alive today. Hallelujah. Breathe on us. Come back. Don't raise your hand, but just think with me. Do you ever get hungry to see God move supernaturally? Do you ever long for His presence? To just walk in and overwhelm you? Church, God wants to do it. I know this sounds completely off base, but here it is, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it did what? It filled the whole house. Now, let's stop right there for a second. There's 120 people in this room. Boy, I wish we had 120. No, I wish we had it full. But suddenly there came a sound, and this is one of the thoughts that the Lord gave me. The Bible said in Luke 24:49, He told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. Now, those disciples and the other 110, the 70, whoever, however you want to break it down, especially the 12, they was not perfect saints. Because two of them, their mother wanted them to sit on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus, and it brought jealousy among the other 10. Hello? One was a thief. Oh, come on. Y'all, are y'all awake? They were not perfect saints. And I know what some of you think. Well, why are you bringing this in here? Let me share it with you right quick. The tarrying, according to history, tells us that those 10 days they met day after day after day, and they prayed. They didn't go and gossip. They didn't talk about Sister Susie and what other name I give a man that ain't your name. Roscoe. We had a female cat that named Roscoe and had kittens. But from day one until day 10, for 10 days, they met in a room. John, I'm going to use you. They went into the secret place. Sir. They went into a place where the Lord said, go, Why did he tell them to go there? There'd be no distractions from all the commotion that's going on outside of Jerusalem, because the people were still there. The Passover and all the things that was going on, the crowd was still there, and they were noisy in the street. He said, you go and tarry. You go and seek me.
Come on.
And on the 10th day, and it said, suddenly, a sound from heaven. I don't know if you understand that sound. I've told y'all this, but that air conditioner right over there, when it comes on, it reminds me of the day of Pentecost. Because it will start, it just... Now, I'm not going into all that, but I'm telling you what. Every time I hear it come on, I think about, that's the way it must have been that day. People got, here's the key to it. They all got in one accord.
Listen.
They got together in one mind, in one accord, because the Lord says, you go and tarry until you be endued with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
They didn't know what it was. They didn't know, have no idea what it was. But on the 10th day, the Holy Ghost fell. And the Bible said it filled the whole house. You know what my prayer is? Holy Ghost, fill this house and touch everybody here. Amen. Amen. I get disturbed when the moving of the Spirit is trying to move in so-called Christians. Y'all not going to like me after today, but that's all right. Set here like a bump on a log, and God is trying to pour out something on you that will dramatically change your life. God is trying to pour into you something that will bring you back to life. He's wanting to breathe on you the glory, the power, the anointing that you once had. He's wanting to pour into you the Spirit of the living God. He wants to pour into you that anointing that will give you life again. Hallelujah. Well, you know how it is, preacher. I just can't hardly make it. You're going to make it with God. That's how you're going to make it. No, you won't make it on your own. You can't make it on your own. The old song is, I can't even walk unless he holds my hand. But thank God, he's got me by the hand. And when I feel weak, he picks me up. When I can't do anything else, he holds me. Why? He's pouring into me life. How much time have I got? Y'all didn't bring a bag lunch, did you? Whew. Wow. Holy Spirit, help us. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. The word humble simply means showing a consciousness of one's defects. Every morning I shave, I look in that mirror. My wife said this morning, your hair is getting thin right there. I look at my hands. You see them spots? It's called old age. Everybody's got them. I'm going to put it like this. I call them defects. Because I remember when my skin never had a dark spot on it. I remember, I got a picture that Alice gave me when I was 19 years old. Man, I had a head of hair. But I was 19. I ain't going to tell you how old I am today. You know. But it's called defects. But you know what? God can take the defects, the shortcomings, and if there's any pride in us, he can take that out. Self-assertive and modest, he can do away with all of that. But when we recognize our defects, now, oh Lord, help me. If we're not careful, many of us have defects in our Christian walk. Well, y'all got real quiet on that one. I recognized about 2.5 years ago, I had a lot of defects in my Christian experience. A lot of defects. The first time I heard John preach about the secret place, I said, he's crazy. What's he talking about? But one day praying in here, the Lord said, I want you to get alone. So I go in the nursery, get in that rocking chair. And for 2.5 hours every morning that I'm able, me and God and the Word is in a secret place. And I begin to give those defects to the Lord because I recognize them. I knew in my heart. You know how I knew? Well, this is going to blow you away, and I hope it does. As I begin to pray and seek God, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and show me my defects. Come on. Ooh. I know why some people don't pray.
Come on.
Because if you pray enough, guess what's going to start happening? The Holy Spirit is going to become active. And the Holy Spirit is going to come to you and say, hey, here's a defect. You need to get rid of it. I'm going to call it this, secret sins. See, when I was growing up, back in the day, most of the message was, the sin was cursing, smoking, drinking, going to the picture show, they called it. The only thing I could do was go parking. Y'all get that one. You older folks know what I'm talking about. Well, I couldn't go do nothing else. It was a sin. It really was. And man, if they heard you doing that, they'd hang you over hell. But I never heard a preacher preach about arrogance, hatred, bitterness.
Listen.
I never heard them preach on that. I never heard them preach on a proud spirit. Because I believe with all of my heart, God will, that you will go to hell as quick as that as you would if you was an alcoholic. Because you are not where God wants you to be. Those are defects. And God's not pleased with it. Humble yourself. Seek my face. Matthew put it like this in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Seek first the kingdom of God. Solomon wrote, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn.
Come on.
When I began to realize the defects in my own life, I made a turn. I said, God, you know they're there. I don't know what to do with them, but I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to take them and give them to you. I laid them on the altar.
Yes, sir.
Am I perfect? Not quite. But I tell you what I am. I'm full of His presence. I'm full of His glory. I'm full of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Those defects have vanished from my life, and He's pouring into my soul every day. He's pouring into me the breath of life. He's pouring into me new visions, new ideas, new ways. He's pouring into me the glory. He's pouring in the presence of God into my heart. I've laid these other things down on the altar and said, Lord, fill my cup.
Come on.
Fill it and let it run over. There's two lines up there that we have, three lines that we have a problem in. John, you help me out here. No. We don't pray. This is what John and I discussed after talking about revival. Most of us don't pray. Oh, our Lord, bless our food, us four, no more. Lord, I lay me down to sleep. No, that's not praying. You know what praying is? Talking to God. That's what prayer is. Well, in fact, Jesus said, don't be like the Pharisees thinking they got to say fancy words and repeat it over and over and over. He said, no, when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Amen.
Not fancy words. Not so everybody can brag on you and, man, look at this guy. He knows how to pray. No. I don't know how to pray. I tell God this all the time. Lord, I don't even know how to pray. But yet the Holy Spirit will come upon my life. And I begin to surrender to Him. I humble myself. And I've been seeking His face. I'm not happy with the status of the church. My heart yearns for a move of God that will shake this place.
Amen.
And then we need to turn from our wicked ways. Until we do this, the Holy Spirit will not work in our life. Hello. Boy, y'all got quiet on that one. God would not touch Israel until they repented. That's what Solomon was talking about. He said, when there's a famine in the land, when there's a plague, when there's a drought, if you will turn and sacrifice at the temple, I pray and ask for forgiveness, I will heal you. I will restore you. I will bring back to you. Ooh. I will hear from heaven. I'm going to ask this one question. You want to hear from heaven today?
Yes,
Brother Mark, y'all come. I'm not through, but the Holy Spirit says stop. I'm going to share this with you. I hope I can do it right. John, take that, please. Lord, help me to say it right. The sacrifice. We sing the chorus. I bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Do we not? This is where I want to leave with what I want to leave with. We used to come and tarry at the altar. It was a sacrifice for some of us. Hello? Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm not talking about coming and bouncing up down. Ooh, the joy is the Lord is my strength. No, I'm talking about walking into His presence.
Listen.
Laying everything down and letting Him begin to empty you out and clean you up, pour into your heart. This is where it's going to get fun. Hang on with me. We come to church, and as soon as the preacher starts preaching, we want to hurry up, preacher. We got to beat the Baptist to Chili's. Hurry up, preacher, we got to go home and watch so-and-so on TV. Hurry up, preacher, we got to go do this or we got to go do that. Hurry up, preacher, so I can get in my couch and lay down. I'm talking about the sacrifice of praise. I'm talking about time stops when you get hungry for God and you will push everything aside and bow before Him and say, Lord, here I am and I'm not going to leave until You bless me.
Amen.
You know what? It would offend some of you if we stayed 10 minutes after 12 o'clock.
Come on.
Let me tell you something. You want God to work in your life? It don't matter what time it is.
Yes, sir.
If you'll let Him, He will minister to you.
Amen.
I told you, y'all wouldn't like me after today. But the truth, I've been giving you the truth. I've poured in my heart, out of my heart, what the Lord has given to me.
Amen.
And I'm in the same boat with you. Stand with me. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Vanilla with you right now. If you are hungry for God to do something in your life, if you are ready for God to work in you, would you like to step out and come and stand at this altar? Is there anybody? You want God to minister to your life? I know it's a sacrifice for some of you. I know it's hard. Holy Spirit. Lord, this is a sacrifice for some to give of their time and their moment. And they're saying to you, I want more of your blessing. I want more of your glory. I want more of your presence. Sing it again, Brother Mark, would you please, one more time.
Spirit of the living God,
fresh on us. My Lord, my God. Oh, Lord, help us to bow before you. Help us to humble ourselves. To release ourselves from our pride and our arrogance and other things. That we can be humbled. That we can receive the fullness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Mark, sing that one more time, would you please?
Spirit of the living God, won't you fall fresh on me? Sing it with me, make it your prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on.
see our prayers. You see our heart. We're bowed before you this morning, asking, Lord, to take care of every situation, every problem, the drought of our heart, the deadness of our spirit. Renew us. Renew us. Refresh us. Breathe into us the breath of life. I ask this in your name, the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening today to the podcast of Pastor Daniel Braddock. If you are encouraged and uplifted by Pastor Braddock's preaching, please write a positive review on your favorite podcast app. Subscribe to this podcast on your app so you will not miss any future episodes. Take the word preached by Pastor Braddock and share it with your family, your friends, and your community. May God bless you today.